Just want to let you folks know, this is the only pastor in 40 churches, that keeps in touch with us on a weekly basis. The only one. And we know that you guys are praying for us. And it means a lot to us down there. And it means a lot to the people. It really does. They really appreciate you guys. And I want to encourage you. I want to thank you for the cards that you sent to my mother. She's not doing well. But when we talked to her on Friday, she had two of the cards in her hands, and she was all excited. So I really appreciate that. That was a tremendous blessing to her, just to give her a little bit of excitement to have those cards and those words of encouragement. It was wonderful. And I appreciate your prayers for me with the COVID that I was battling with. To end it all fairly easily, I actually had pneumonia for the third time. During that same time, I didn't know it, but when I got out, I went to a doctor, private doctor, and she said, yeah, you've got pneumonia. And she said, didn't they treat it? And I said, no, not that I know of. I never seen a little Filipino girl get so upset. She just had steam coming out of her ears. And she said, I can't believe you didn't get treated for that. But she was really good. She explained it to me. And basically what happened, I've got about 25% of my lungs has scarring. I won't be able to use anymore. She said, just live your life like you've got emphysema. She said, and you'll be able to do fine. So she put me on a spray. She said, anytime you go to do any activity, to take that spray. And so I'm trying to be good at that. Not always real good, but one good thing about it, it requires I take a nap quite often in the afternoon. So we're not too upset about that right at this point. But it's been good. I appreciate your prayers for me during that time. The doctor told me it was going to take a miracle for me to leave the hospital alive. I said, well, I know the author of miracles. And it just worked out that he was Muslim. And he was telling me about different things, and I'd been telling him about the Lord. So the last thing I told him, I said, now, do you want me to introduce you to the man of miracles again? And he turned around and walked away and didn't say anything else to me. So it was a wonderful testimony. I was glad I was able to do that to show the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And firm believer in prayer meetings. Amen. I don't get upset often, Pastor, but when I hear churches that don't do prayer meeting anymore, I think, how can you not do it? I mean, how can you not have prayer meeting and survive? I praise the Lord in Brazil. The first church we started, we had more people on prayer meeting on Wednesday night than we did any other service. So we always had a good time. But we saw a lot of answers to prayer. Even back then, you guys were praying for us. And we saw a lot of people get saved through the courses. I appreciate you sending those down to Pastor Jair. They are experiencing tremendous growth. And he's been getting them the different booklets out on salvation and baptism and the different ones he sent to him. They've been spreading them all over the city. And so he's hot and heavy after that, getting after me. Can you give me some more? You got any more of those? But it's been a tremendous blessing to see that. And Mawa, their mother church of the church that we're starting, they're using those. They've just started using the baptismal ones on some young couple. We just got word 2 weeks ago. A young couple just got saved in Tamarana in our work there. Just started coming. So we're looking forward to a baptismal service when we go back for that. And just had a young couple that were living together. We're not married. They got married in March. Finally got that arranged and got the documents and everything for that. Saw the need to be obedient. And so we were able to celebrate that, and so you guys have got a lot of your prayers are being answered. We haven't been able to communicate real well with you over it, but it's been exciting, and I want to encourage you, continue praying, continue working on those courses. You're just never going to know how much you guys have affected people over the world and how many people have accepted Christ because of those courses and different, been educated in the Word of God using those courses. And I love going back into homes that we've had people get saved. And years later, you go back and they say, you remember this course that you gave me? That's how I got saved. You know, that little the written white booklet, they call it. So it's been wonderful. It's been a tremendous blessing. So I wanted to encourage you with that. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 14, verse 27. Paul was always an encourager. He always wanted to encourage churches when he wrote back, when he visited them, everywhere he went. He wanted to be encouraged, but he wanted to encourage them. And so since our last furlough, about a year and a half ago, this has been our ministry, just trying to encourage these young pastors that are taking over these churches. Churches that were well established. We're working with one pastor now at Victory Baptist Church. He just took it over. Young pastor, got a young family. Talking to him before I left, and he said, I've got to have your help. He said, things just aren't going away. I think they should. I need some wisdom. I need somebody to help. So when we go back, we're going to be working a little bit more with him during the week and trying to encourage him. And he's a good man. He's got a good family. He's well-grounded in the Word of God, a very dedicated man to soul winning. He more needs to realize that not everybody's going to get saved. He's excited about it, but he's staying at it. The church is an older church. So we're working with that to get the people revitalized, get them back excited about being out serving the Lord. With COVID kind of hit some of them kind of hard. They just lost a elderly gentleman that we've known for years and years and years, a tremendous soul winner. He just went home to be with the Lord. He was 95, and he helped start the church, the very first service, he and his wife and his children and stuff. And so that kind of hit him a little bit hard this last year. So pray for him, Pastor Anderson. So if you'd pray for him and his wife and their family, that God will continue to encourage them, that we can be an encouragement to them. Paul wrote in verse 27 of Acts chapter 14, he said, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." And tonight, that's what I wanted to do, is to encourage you as a missionary. I did some studying on Paul and what Paul wrote to the churches that he started. Paul had basically three things that he wanted to do with the church when he wrote the church. He was grateful that the churches were serving. He gave them a word of encouragement, all except for the church at Galatia. He had a prayer request. He praised them for something that they were doing, but he also had a personal request for the church, and many times it was for growth. Not just numbers, but spiritual growth. We have a lot of baby Christians, and they don't seem to want to learn. They don't seem to want to grow in the Word. They don't see the need. We're not fighting, but we are. We're fighting Satan with the church at Mahwah to keep the people excited about this new work. They don't see results every day or every week, and so sometimes they get a little bit discouraged. And, well, it's not growing. It's not too, well, you can't look at that way. We're to go out and go soul winning. We don't know what's going to happen. In our ministry, we've had people that we've witnessed to for years and years and years. In 10 years, for some reason, we meet them on the road somewhere, and they say, "I accepted Christ, and I'm in church now." And it was because of your ministry when you were in the neighborhood, you know, and things like that. So we can't ever give up. We can't stop. We can't back off. Satan doesn't. He continues to fight. He doesn't take a day off or anything. He wants to see us fail. He wants to see churches close. And so we have to work even harder on a daily basis. When we're in school, we study to grow, to learn, to develop, to go farther, to do more things. And church is the same way. When we're at church, it's like I tell people, Brazilian people, our church is the refuge. And especially on Wednesday nights, you need that. I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but there are some weeks from Monday to Friday, it seems like a long time. It seems like it's never going to arrive. Wednesday night, we need it to recharge our spiritual batteries halfway through the week. Because the world just bombards us with stuff all the time. I get discouraged at turning the radio on. Mom and I, I had a pastor friend one time said, I like to get into missionaries' cars and turn the radio on, push the buttons, see where it's programmed. I said, have at it, because I haven't got the foggiest idea. That radio hasn't been turned on since I bought the car. Mom and I talk. We don't turn the music. We don't turn music on. We don't turn the radio on. I said, I haven't got the foggiest idea how it even works. You know, if you want to figure it out, go ahead. You want to preset them for me, go ahead. But I don't know how to do it. You know, we get enough bombardment from things going on. You turn the news on. You just get discouraged, all that's going on. And sure, we need to know somewhat what's going on. I mean, we shouldn't be having our head in a hole in the sand or anything like that, but not dwelling on that. Our first priority is winning souls. Our first priority is seeing the work of Christ grow. Our first priority is serving Him. It's not worrying about what's going on in the world. We have a promise. He's coming back. When? I'm going to let Him worry about that. I'm going to let God worry about that. I'm just going to be ready when He does. Amen? That's what's more important, is being ready when He comes back. Now, I don't know if I could do like, do you remember who said it, Pastor Austin? We had an evangelist at Tennessee Temple one time said that when the Lord comes back, He wants to be soul winning because He's going to grab the guy when he goes up to heaven in the rapture. He's going to get about halfway up and say, you accept Christ or I'm going to let go. Do you remember who said that? I have always remembered that. I don't remember who said it. I don't think it's going to work that way, but it's a neat thought, you know. It's kind of... But the idea is, when Christ comes back, what are we going to be doing? We say we're ready to go. Sure, we're ready to go, but what are we going to be doing when Christ... What do you want to be doing when Christ comes back? What do you want your spiritual life to be like when Christ comes back? And Paul, in all these, in the letters that he wrote, was to encourage these churches. Be prepared. Be prepared. Number one, you need to be prepared for the return of Christ. He is going to return. You need to be ready. Number two, you need to be ready for the attacks of Satan. They are going to come, folks. They are going to come. Are we ready? Have we put on the armor? Do we put on the armor of God every day? And we think, well, on the mission field, you've got to do it. We encounter a lot of strange things on the mission field. But you encounter basically the same thing right here. Right here in Michigan. That we encounter there. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter what part of the world you're from. Sin is sin. And we need to be prepared to encounter Satan when he comes at us to discourage us. We need to be encouraging others. And like I said, we shared with you when we were here last time about our Barnabas ministry. We've been enjoying it. We've put a lot of miles on the road. We get back and we're going to be putting a lot more of them on. We just found out that a missionary is coming back in September, November, January, December, January, and he wants me to help him with the church. So we're adding another church to our list. But that's all right. I want to be busy. I want to be serving God. I want to be seeing these people grow. And so we're open to it. God's been blessing in the churches there. One of the churches that we ask you to pray for, the churches in Natapongas, Apukanana, they were wanting to buy some land and move out of the cement building they were in. It's right next to the railroad tracks. I mean, the railroad tracks is closer than me to pasture. When the train goes by, it rattles the building. It's a concrete block building, and it about shakes the building. They've got it. God provided them a piece of land. And so we're getting ready here, and probably in a couple of months, we're going to go down there and take a look at it with him and see what we can start getting down there for a temporary building, get him going. Get him out of that building, and stop paying rent on that, and start putting rent toward buying material to build the building. So we're excited about that for that church. They're excited about this. Finally, after a number of years, God opened up this door. But they were ready for it. And they jump, step through, and they're underway. The church in Maringá, Pastor Claude Genet, we ask you to pray for them. He's already got a second piece of land to start a second church. In another small town, just a little, about a half hour drive out of town. They're seeing the need now. They're seeing the need to spread the gospel into these other areas. Stop being in, this is our ministry right here, and this is it. We can't do anymore. We're not big enough to do anymore. And I've been sharing with them, it's not the amount. It's what you're doing. What can you do? You don't have to have a huge fancy building to get the people excited. I think we shared with Pastor in one of the letters. I got frustrated. I know I'm not. I know you think I'm not that way, but I did. I like the church to be someplace where it can be recognizable. The church building where we're at now is up on a hill. You can see it a half a mile away coming into town. Well, it's great. Well, I asked people, say, well, where is your church? It's on a hill outside of town. Well, where at? I didn't know how to explain to them where it was at. And so finally I was ordering material. And there was some little old man in there in the construction place. And I was trying to tell him where it was at. And he says, Bing Pathan, I'm not going to get a hoist. He said, it's right near the rice factory. The rice mill. I said, what? He said, yeah, just up the road is the rice mill. The old rice mill. I thought, So from now on, anybody wants to know where it's at? Bing Pathan, I'm not going to get a hoist. Oh, I know where that's at. Praise the Lord. Finally, we got it. We got someplace where everybody knows where it's at now. So we're recognizable. Now people are saying, oh, yeah, I saw the building up on top of the hill up there. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I wanted to, I shared with the pastor the Bethanita that you bought us. God provided that. I was afraid I was going to have to hire somebody to tote that thing around. Do you know what? The Combi that God provided for us to go pick everybody up, if I take the front, the middle seat out, it goes into the Combi with that much space to spare. So two of us can pick it up, put it in, close the door, and go down the road. So it's been a blessing. We can't leave much on the construction site right now. We put electric cables in, and one night somebody else decided they wanted them more than we did, climbed up the pole and cut the wires, and cut them up next to the church and pulled them out and sold it for copper. So we put in a real small wire now. We just run less energy, so they've been leaving that alone. But we only have one police car in the town of 4,000 people. So we don't see him very often, and they know that, so that's why they decided they wanted the wire worse than we wanted it. But God's opening doors. We're hearing people saying, well, I'll come and visit. We hear that a lot, but we do get people coming. And like I said, a young couple has come now. Pastor didn't mention if they had any children. I think it's just a young couple that are coming now, got saved, and so God's blessing. We're seeing results now. We were able to build the small building that we've got. It's bigger than the little tiny one we were in. This one will hold about 35 people, and with this couple, we're up to about 25. So I like that problem. I like having to build a bigger building to accommodate more people coming. I've already got a design. If we need to, we can expand this one, or else we can start on the next one. Pray for that. We found out after 3 years, in December last year, the architect handed us our money back. And said, I can't do your blueprint. Oh, well, that's nice to know. He is one of the only architects in the town, and his uncle is the one that approves him. And they got in a fight. So they're not speaking to each other. So he can't do any blueprints in the town now. So, yeah, that was quite the eye-opener to us. But anyway, that's what happens when you work in a small town. But we were able, the Lord provided in the end of February, a Christian architect down in Curitiba, which is about 6 hours away, he's going to do our blueprint for us. So he's a young man. He's going to one of the churches one of the Baptist churches in the south. He's going to do it for us, and we'll find an engineer near us. And so we're back on track again. Praise the Lord for that. And so we're right now, they have the money to get the blueprint done and get all that taken care of. Now all we got to do is get everything approved. It's got to go through the uncle that he got mad at. So we're not sure what's going to happen with that one yet. But we'll try it anyway. But rehearsing this to these young churches, The COVID hurt some of them. It diminished congregation by quite a bit. I know you all experienced that here in the States and stuff too. But through it all, they're seeing now, as I said, growth again. They're actually getting new people back. Some of the people that the COVID kind of scared them. Got them kind of thinking, you know, more spiritual things. So they're getting some new people coming. I wish I could say they were all getting saved, but they're coming. So that opens up a door. I talked to Pastor Gilson. I told him, I said, look, I'm going to buy you a box of Bibles. We call them pew Bibles. They're just a little hardcover. They're, about $10 now? Not even that. They're about $7 a piece. And so I said, you take one of these pew Bibles. If they come twice, you take the pew Bible and you take one of these salvation booklets. And you give it to them and tell them to take it home. And then you tell them, I'll make a visit on you. I'm going to visit you in about 2-3 days. Just do the first lesson. And 99% of the time, you tell them to do the first lesson. When you get there, they've already got the booklet done. You give them 2 or 3 days. So they seem to really like them. He's doing that. And it's getting them in the door. Getting them a second chance to be able to talk to somebody. And to get them, that way they can see it. I love the salvation one. I love the pointed questions in there. Ask them if they understand. We did a study with a young couple. She had been telling everybody she was saved. And so I said, look, I want you to make sure. So I said, do the salvation booklet, and then we'll talk about it. And when we met the next time after doing that salvation booklet, she said, I understand it. She said, I never knew what they meant. She said, now I understand. And so it gives you goosebumps. I mean, when you hear that, it's just tremendous. And so she went on and did, she got saved, she went on, and she did the English mom, eternal security, eternal security, and the baptism. And so we're praying for them that they'll come back to the church there in Maui. But folks, when Paul wrote this, and every time I study the book of Acts and I see this verse, I think of y'all. And I love coming back and just sharing with you how much your prayers and your devotion to serving Christ and continuing with these booklets and the tracts and everything. It's made such an effect all over Brazil. When we were at Maranatha, a young couple was leaving. They had to move up into the Amazon. He said, there's not a church up there. And so I said to him, well, let's start one. He said, what? I said, start one. So I give him, I don't remember what we give him, about 100 booklets of different kinds of different ones. I think at that time we only had salvation and baptism in the church, didn't we? At the beginning, Pastor, there was three. I gave him about 100 of each. And today they've got a church. 20 years later, they went up there. He started having studies, Bible studies with those booklets and got people saved. And they called the pastor and built the church. And they got a church going today. You know, and so all the way from the north of Brazil to the south of Brazil and east to west, your booklets have been out. I hope you're encouraged by that. Your prayers for the people, we tell them all, you know, when something happens, we're going to send Pastor Austin and they'll be praying for you, you know, because we know you will. And so that's why we do it. That's why we try to get prayer requests to send to you. It's encouragement to us. Knowing that you guys are praying for us, you've got our backs. You know, you're going to take care of. You're there with us through this, and so please, please, please continue. Continue to be strong. Continue to grow. Continue in your service. And every time we come back, we'll share verse 27 with you. We'll gather together and we'll share what God has done and how God has blessed in your ministry, and in our ministry there. And so. All that you're doing, there are results. Now, I do need to tell you that I was told by a lady in Brazil that y'all are going to have to learn how to speak Portuguese because God only speaks Portuguese. So if you want to communicate when you get to heaven, you got to learn Portuguese. I didn't have the heart to tell her no. we had another gal tell us that she doesn't pray at night because God's asleep. And I said, no, I don't think so. That doesn't work that way. But anyway, you get all kinds of different things happening. But continue to pray for us. We're going to continue to pray for you. I hate sometimes asking pastor for so many booklets because that means you guys got to do a lot of work. But I love asking for them because I know that they're going to be used. And I know we're going to see people saved because of it growing. Not just saved, but growing. We still do get letters from missionaries. We had 35 saved. We had 35 saved this month. We had 25 saved this month. And you look at the prayer letter and you've only got 7 or 8 members of the church. You know, there's more than just that. You've got to get them in there. You've got to grow. And again, that's why I appreciate the ones on, the charismatic movement. A lot of charismatics there in Brazil. And it's a tremendous booklet. I've handed out a number of them. I've still got another pastor that's been after me to get some more down to him. Pastor Jair took some of them that you sent to him and sent them down to him on the charismatic movement because he's got some families in the neighborhood. The ones on Christian appearance, I haven't had a chance to translate all that yet, but I've taught that. It's a wonderful booklet. The one on money. I did a money seminar. See, I can't even think. Too full. Too much carrot cake, huh, bud? did a seminar on finances. I used that, a lot of the material out of that booklet on money. I hadn't had a chance to translate it either. I want to get these translated, get them out, because people need it. Brazilians don't have the right attitude when it comes to money. Why are you working? What should you do with it? What's your attitude toward money? Things like that. So there's more than just, and I want to say this, and I think you understand, more than just the salvation part. We're to help them grow. He said to baptize, but he said teach them. We have to teach them. If we teach them how to serve God, we teach them to stay faithful to God, what are they going to do? We're now going to have more to go out to win souls, to tell others about Christ. And that's what we want. I want to see these churches in Brazil, when we leave, they're going to keep growing. I want them to have that knowledge. I want them to be able to say, okay, we saw it happen. We participated in it. We can do it again now. And that's what our goal is with the Barnabas ministry. Helping them get to past that point, that fear that we are small, we don't have this to do it. Just because you're small don't mean anything. God's all powerful. We have a gracious Father. He's a powerful God. And we need to let Him work through us. Dr. Lee Robertson, remember what he used to always tell us? Preacher boys, when we get to heaven, all you pastors are going to be asked the same question. I got 5,000 members, you got 8. He's going to ask us the same question. Were you faithful with the sheep that I gave you? God don't care the number. He wants to know if you were faithful. And I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. When He returns, I want to be serving Him. I want to see people come to know Christ as their Savior. I still remember the first person I led to the Lord. And when I led that person to the Lord, and they looked at me and said, God really does love me. It almost brought tears to my eyes to see that expression. And it still does today. To see that expression of hopelessness leave and be filled with hope and joy. There's nothing better. There's nothing in the world can compare to that. That's what God does through us. Let's keep working together to rehearse the next time we come back. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.